The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It's currently about 9 minutes past 10 o'clock. A couple of guests in our studio today. We have Todd Buchholz, Harbor Beach Police Chief. We also have Casey Yon. He's been working with a firm to get something into the area for the Harbor Beach kids. He's also with Farm Bureau Insurance. Do you want to say that? Thanks for being with us. And also Shelley Bomer. She's with the Harbor Beach Community Schools Curriculum Director. We're talking about the Arrive Alive Tour, which apparently the tour bus is stopping in Harbor Beach on Friday. Thanks for being with us here.
Thank you.
First of all, what is the Arrive Alive Tour? It sounds like a good thing.
Go ahead, Mrs. Bomer.
The Arrive Alive Tour is a uses high-tech simulator where it has a impact video that the students have watched prior to going in the simulator. They actually bring a vehicle and put it on a special apparatus that will simulate. The students will actually have the feeling of a crash while the effects of texting or drinking while driving, wearing a special pair of goggles. So each student, grades 9 through 12, will be able to go through this simulation process.
And basically it is a warning because, first of all, I can tell you, texting and driving is a no-no.
It's illegal. It's a civil infraction in the state of Michigan. There are first and second offenses, and the fines go up each time you're caught or written a ticket by the police departments.
And that's a primary stop?
Is correct,
that something
it is.
You don't have to see a tail light out or anything else. You can stop someone if you just see them doing the little texting on their phone as they're trying to drive down the road anyway.
Correct, and we all seen them. We all been behind people or waited for people texting and driving, so it's an issue in our community. And it is a primary stop, so if the police officers do see them, we will be pulling them over.
Is it only when the vehicle is moving? Is it when the vehicle is engines running? I mean, there's usually some technicalities in the law, and I was just wondering, you know, if somebody's stopped at a light and they do a quick little, yeah, I'll be there type of thing, is that going to get you in trouble, or do you have to actually physically be moving?
Nope. If you're on the highway, in the travel portion of the roadway, you cannot be texting and driving. There are some parts of the law that state that if you are calling an emergency, immediate emergency, you can be doing that. Police officers or fire departments, ambulance personnel have the right to use their communications phones for emergency use only. So there are some exceptions to the law, but if you're in a travel portion of the road, you cannot be using your phone as a texting or dialing just for communication purposes.
And just for the record, the 911 centers in our area don't have texting, so it's not going to work if you say, oh, I was dialing 911 about something here, because they don't receive it yet.
Correct. And most police officers verify it. I mean, you know, ask the driver to see their phones, and if they cooperate and let us see their phones, most times it's not for an emergency. So.
Now, you handle the enforcement of it. Casey, you get the fun and games of the aftermath.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we see a lot of claims coming in from young, you know, new drivers. I actually had one firsthand happen where my wife had picked the kids up from school and she was just heading out of town, turning into a gas station, and a young man rear-ended her with a pickup, and he was going, you know, full speed. Fortunately, there was no serious injuries, but it hit home pretty hard, and when Mrs. Bomer came to me to get involved, Farm Bureau and I both were very excited and got on board. So, but we are seeing a lot of it. It's tough to pinpoint exactly on, because we don't, you know, review every police report, or at least I don't. Maybe our claims department does, but we're aware of it, and we're definitely all for supporting it.
And this is a business, Arrive Alive Tour, and Casey, I understand that you were the one, according to Shelley, you ponied up the dough to get them here.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
And the kids will benefit from it, I'm sure. This is coming up Friday during school hours?
Yes. All of the students, we will rotate them through on Friday, all the 9th through 12th graders. The simulator will be on the school grounds setting up at 7 in the morning, and when the students come in at 10 minutes to 8, we will start our first simulated experiences and go right up until the buses are rolling to get all of our students through.
And do they do it inside their own vehicle, like their minivan, truck, or whatever, or do they actually bring all this into the school?
The company brings a car that they will use during the simulation process. So it's, I believe it's a minivan, but not
but
sure. But
it basically stays put and they just
Yes, it stays put and it's raised up on something that will simulate the car actually moving and jerking about that would be like a skid.
I know we asked you this a little before the show started. All the kids in the high school, not all of them actually can drive at this point, have a license, but it's of value to all the kids there, even if they don't have any practical experience behind the wheel of a regular vehicle?
That's correct, because often our students are driving farm implements or four-wheelers, those types of things, motorcycles, prior to, just because of the nature of our community being farming, they have those opportunities. And prevention is good. If they go home and tell mom, hey, you need to stop texting while you're driving, then perhaps one less accident will happen in Huron County.
I think that happened years ago when they mandated seat belts. The kids were telling the parents, you need to wear the seat belts. Turn around again from the kids back to the parents. All the kids participate. Do they need to bring a permission slip or something from, or is this just considered a regular school activity?
I met with all of the 9th through 12th graders last week and gave them information so that their parents were aware of what was coming up. They do have a media release form that they took home because the company asks for that because they will take pictures and use it on their national releases for promotion of their product, obviously. Also, all of the students will, so that form went home, and I do have a lot of those. The students have been very conscientious of getting it back, and actually a lot of phone calls parents made to me finding out what's this all about. I understand my student is going to be issued a citation when they're finished with this. Is that going to be something that is legally binding? And I said, no, it's not, but part of the program, the students at the completion of their simulated ride, our police force will issue them a avoided citation just so that they can feel the full effects. Hey, you were texting while driving. This is a punishment, and they'll also know, you know, what the fines are involved and feel that full effect. So the students will be given a fake citation to go home. So hopefully the parents aren't excited about that, because it does say void along the citation.
And your officers are going to be doing this, Todd, or is this part of the company?
Nope, we'll be there assisting the school and the company and Casey and in this project on Friday.
And then next week, your officers are going to have a thing on carpal tunnel syndrome?
Well,
from all that writing?
We'll see how many complaints we get about their children getting tickets, but they are just voided tickets just for visual aid to help the kids hopefully remember this experience a little longer. So
something they can put on the cork board at home and I don't want to do this for real.
Exactly. We'll break some records Friday by writing 250 tickets. So.
They're okay. Actually going to need to just write the names on the tickets. We've pre-printed everything else.
Oh,
so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so.
And you're not going to handcuff them or anything?
No, hope not. Okay. I hope not.
And Casey, you deal with sort of the in-between on this. What do parents need to know about, you know, texting and driving? There's even just a citation. Is that something that a young kid's insurance is going to... Because
definitely,
it seems like
any
violation... You know, the parents will tell you, you know, their insurance goes through the roof. And
that's for sure. Young drivers are expensive as it is to insure. So as they have points or issues on their history, that's going to definitely affect that in a negative way, and premiums will skyrocket.
And so. It is a points offense?
Correct. Moving violation in state insurance.
Okay, so this is not just, you know, parking ticket type of thing.
Correct.
Okay, How long is the student actually going to be in the vehicle? Is this just like a 3-4 minute thing? Because you've got a lot of kids to go through.
It is about 3 or 4 minutes.
You got a lot of kids to go through if you're doing all those grades.
They'll actually go through an introduction process where the company will tell them what's going to happen while they're putting them in the vehicle and getting prepared. And then after the process, they will have an opportunity to sign a pledge that I pledge to drive safe, and they will be given a key ring with their photo on that key ring that will be produced right there. A reminder that, okay, I have this on my keys and I can take that home and see it all the time.
Now, when they're in the machine, are they actually trying to text a fake phone, or are they just getting the simulation of how you'd be going all over the road if you were doing it?
I believe through the goggles, they won't actually be doing any texting, but through the goggles, it'll give them that feeling.
Because kids are not that great at driving to begin with, believe me. And, you know, you take one hand and give it a whole nother purpose, you're just cutting even that in half.
Correct.
And does this tie in with phones? I mean, is, you know, the actual just making a call, is this something that they try to hit on as well, besides the texting, that even just talking on the phone can be such a distraction?
Well, actually, the program will address not only the texting, but it'll also address the effects that a student might feel if they have been drinking or are drinking while they're driving. So the program will couple in with that. And statistics have shown that the amount of alcohol-related accidents has been decreasing, and we're winning that war. However, the amount of accidents involving texting nationwide have increased significantly. So we might be winning one war, and it's just for the sheer fact that there isn't a lot of education yet that is out there for texting and drinking, texting while driving. So hopefully through starting this process, Harbor Beach Community Schools wants their students to be aware of it and to bring this awareness out and to prevent things from happening to our students and to their families as well.
Gentlemen, do you think the statistics on texting and driving accidents gets underreported? I mean, drinking, there's a portable breath test that you can take blow in the tube and they know. Texting, you put the phone in your pocket, and by the time the police get there, you know, you can have your own story as to, oh, they stopped short and I didn't see it, and bang. And do you think it's something that gets a little underreported even?
I would agree with that statement. There is statistics showing that 45% of all students 16 years and older have admitted where they have been texting and driving and caused incidents. But there's always going to be those gray areas where they blame it on something else just so they don't get pinpointed for that, I believe. So, yes.
And I know it's becoming a more common practice of law enforcement to ask the driver's phones to see if they were texting at the time of the car accident or on the phone that might have distracted them to cause the car accident or been partial to blame.
So that is something you can do as part of a random stop, or it has to be voluntary, they give you the phone? There's search warrants and, you know, proper authorization and stuff. You have to abide by the law if you want this to stick ever.
Correct. It would be considered, in my opinion, a search. So we'd probably have to have permission of the owner of the phone, or we'd have to get a search warrant for the phone records.
And we're not just talking fender benders here. I mean, there are accidents out there that are fatals, that are ruining people's lives physically for the rest of their lives. I mean, you know, we kind of almost think of it as kind of a little rite of passage for kids, but there's a lot of damage that can get done here if they're doing this.
Right, and you know, just a stats, they say now in the nation, 11 teen deaths every day from texting and driving. So that's 11 every day. It's an impact on every community in the state or in the country.
And it's not just the person in the car. The whole family gets involved with it. It spirals out from there.
Right, and that's what I think the goal of this whole project is, not just to touch our students, but touch the students' families, their community. You know, like Mrs. Bomer said, If these our students go home, tell their siblings or parents about what they went through and experienced, maybe they'll learn from that, and hopefully we're hoping for the trickle offense or effect of more than the people that we run through the simulator to learn from it.
Are we putting goggles on ourselves and focusing on the teens? Is this problem no age barrier in it? I mean, you get older and you think, you know, hey, I've been driving for 40 years, you know, I can do this while I'm driving. I, you know, never had an accident, blah, blah, blah. Is this just one focus of the enforcement to go after the kids as they're learning, but there's a whole other aspect out there?
Whole different aspect. I think there's, you know, everybody sees it probably more than police officers, because once people see police officers, the phone gets kind of thrown down on the floor once in a while. But
call you later.
Exactly. But I think it's a problem with everybody. I don't think it's just teens. I think this is a great way to get, you know, with our resources we have and the time allotted, I think this is a great start for our community to go through the 9th through 12th grade in Harbor Beach. And hopefully other communities will see what we're doing and jump on board. And this will be a start for a lot of communities in our county.
And Shelley, we were talking a little bit before, it's just for Harbor Beach students, but administrators from other schools would be welcome to come and view this and see what this firm has to offer, maybe even talk to them and start getting the ball rolling and having this type of activity at their own school.
Absolutely. We invite any administration or a liaison of a school district to come and visit. They can contact Harbor Beach Community Schools and direct their phone call to myself, and then I will make sure that somebody will be available to speak with them to give them information.
As any qualified business person, you know, Casey has cards. They'll hand them out.
Certainly.
And they'll know who to call and to get the ball rolling for their own local district.
Yep.
Shelley, you indicated before we got underway here that this is just the beginning. This isn't an end to the efforts. This is just really a beginning for Harbor Beach?
Yes, it is. Actually, when I first brought the subject up with Chief Buchholz, and he had taken it to a meeting and said, this is what we want to do. He got back to me and told me that there were other agencies in our community that wanted to get on board and be a part of it to further the education of the students. So we are going to be meeting with our fire, ambulance, hospital, and the police department as well, and the school involved, and so that we can, in November, bring some more education to keep this out in front of the students' minds. And also in the spring, we're hoping to bring another large activity that will involve all of those agencies. So we're in that planning process.
So it's a non-stop type of thing. I got to keep reinforcing it. You teach the kids once and they don't catch it, then it's lost. But you keep reinforcing it, it sticks a little longer.
Yep, and that's part of our community. They want to continue that education process with our students to. They're the ones that have to see the effects of after it's happened. So, and that's the sad part.
Yeah, community always has to deal with the after effects. Is there something kids should know coming to this event? I mean, is, you know, proper shoes, that type of thing? You don't want to be in flip-flops when you're doing this? I don't know. I've never been in one of these things.
Just their normal normal outfits that they would wear.
Okay. Shirt and no shirt, no service type of thing. You see it at the store.
We hope that they're, yeah.
Well, that would be dress code, I guess.
Yeah, that would be a dress code violation, so.
And looking at Friday's forecast, they're most likely going to be wearing shirts.
It's a little chilly that day.
It's going to be a little chilly. We're just hoping no rain.
Friday, until about 2 p.m., a chance of light showers, but otherwise partly cloudy. So you're cutting a break on that one. But they're going to start first thing in the morning, you said.
Yes, we are.
Setting up. And how long are they going to be there? Till the last day of moment of school to get as many kids through as they can, that type of thing? Yep.
We are actually going to begin with our 10th through 12th graders and get them through the simulator first, and then we will go to the 9th grade. just in case we run out of time if the students have more questions, because obviously the 10th through 12th graders are the ones that are actually behind that driver's wheel now. And then the 9th graders, if we don't get them this time around, we will see what we can do at a later date for them.
And basically you pull them out of regular classes alphabetically or something to, because
yes.
They do go to, you know, I have English this hour, you have French this hour, you know, it'd be kind of difficult to just take this class, and next hour half those kids might be in the next one.
Well, it's called flexibility, and we're hoping that we haven't done it, but we're hoping that it'll run smoothly. Our staff is well aware of what's going to happen and how it's going to happen, and they are 100% behind the whole process, so that's a good thing. And in the administration at Harbor Beach is also behind it, so we've done a lot of logistically plans to make this happen. When you're moving 250 students in and out of a simulated process while trying to have academics continue is a challenge. So I think we have seen our obstacles prior to, and hopefully we can maneuver around them safely.
Does the company give you a little help from the experience they've had? I mean, they've done this at other schools.
Actually, they did. They gave us a big help because we were trying to, initially we were going to have the students watch the video just prior to their simulation. And then we were trying to figure out, okay, the video is a 49-minute video. And then the simulator, and not all of the 50 students that are in the video can see the simulator. So what do we do with those kids while they're waiting? So then the company actually sent us the DVD prior to, and the students are watching that this week and prior to, and then it'll just be the simulation on Friday. So that was our biggest logistics that was taken care of.
Just have your staff turn their cell phones off so they're not texting while they're trying to run this operation, and it'll go smoother. So you do have other things coming up. Is this something you figure is going to go on into future years because you'll have more kids coming in, or does this kind of take care of this set of classes for a few years and then bring it back?
Well, we're always looking for ways to educate our students at all of the different levels. This was something that came across my desk, and just hearing nationally how many accidents, fatalities happen because of texting and drinking with our young people, it got me energized to go out and find funding for it. And while Casey's Farm Bureau Insurance is funding the majority of the project, we're also being funded by Harbor Beach Police Department and the City of Harbor Beach as well, in a small portion. But it took that initial drive on my part, and so this is what's come of it since.
So are you the contact person if somebody in Harbor Beach wants to help kids and get involved in the future programs? You'd be the one they talk to at the school to see what they can do to help? For these other ones you've got coming up,
absolutely.
Contact you, and you will be more than happy to put them to work, and
we'll see what we can do. One of the many hats I wear.
Oh, well, don't wear a hat while you're driving.
That's true.
Do you write a lot of tickets in Harbor Beach for this thing? Or I know it's a rather small town, but we do get a lot of tourists, and if you get anywhere near the Maritime Festival, I would imagine you could probably write a book on what you see there.
Yeah, this is more of a proactive, I think, approach to this problem. I mean, again, I said earlier, we all see it. We all see it every day.
Because a lot of times this isn't detected until there's a tragedy.
Exactly.
People are doing it. They're doing it clandestinely. They've got the phone below the steering wheel, and you really can't see what they're doing other than the fact that they keep looking down every once in a while. I mean, and you really need to see it. So it's more trying to prevent it before it happens.
Correct, and I think education is the best way. Sometimes, as Casey stated, I think if we educate the young drivers and their parents. Maybe we can prevent it from happening again, but by us writing a lot of citations for it, sometimes that puts people behind a little bit on bills and other payments and adds more stress to the family. So I think by educating them this way is the proper way right now. If it becomes a ongoing problem, then I guess we'll have to write tickets and go that route. But again, you write a young man or a young woman a ticket that can stick with them forever.
Or at least 7 years on their points.
Exactly. it has an effect on their life. Even people say, it's only a seatbelt ticket or just a texting ticket. Well, that sticks with our young community for a while. So I think this is a great program, and I think that's why, our city council, Mayor Gary Booms, and the city council approved to help with the financing of this project to educate the students of our school. So
you get the education and the prevention, which turns out in the long run to be cheaper than the aftermath and having to deal with that.
Exactly.
Because, it's costly for you to investigate, it's costly for the families, and everybody gets involved, including the lawyers.
Exactly.
And we don't have to do that if we prevent it right from the get-go.
Right. So the amount of money, that the city put in this is, is minor. I mean, if we save one student's lives, you put a price on a life right now, you can't. So I think this is a great opportunity to educate them, to get them aware of our problems and, how many fatalities there are a year because of texting and driving.
Anything more you want to tell people about this program? I know you brought a lot of notes.
Well, one of the statistics while I was doing research prior to getting ready to even initiate this whole process, that in 5 seconds, that you take your attention away from your driving and you're traveling at 55 miles an hour, you go the length of a football field in those 5 seconds. And that's huge amount of space and a small amount of time, but it could cost somebody the rest of their life. So, people just don't, they believe they can multitask, but yet we can't. I think this will have a huge impact.
And while in the city you have more congestion, so to speak, on the road, here we have higher speeds, and that cuts down your reaction time a lot.
Correct. And just other, people might not think this is a problem, but nationally, there's 330,000 injuries per year from texting and driving. Now it's 25% of all car accidents have to deal with texting and driving, and it makes you 23 times more likely to crash while texting. So the stats are there to prove it, that this is a problem nationwide, and Harbor Beach is the greatest place on earth to start the prevention of it. So I think this is a great opportunity.
And it's not just the driver if they're texting, if your passenger's texting and bothering you about it.
Exactly, correct.
That can be a whole other distraction as well. So getting the word out is a good thing.
I agree. It's been a great, Mrs. Bomer needs a lot of credit. Casey needs a lot of credit for coming up with some funding. So it's a group effort, and the school just by making this happen, and the teachers even, they're kind of shuffling their schedule around. It's affecting a lot of people, and hopefully in the spring we can keep going with this education. Right now, just in talks of a mock crash maybe with everybody and show the students the results of
how you tear apart a car, how you do all that kind of stuff, and all the nastiness that can happen with it.
Exactly. So, get that visual aid out there. Let them see what happens if they do it. So.
Visual is usually a bigger impact than just somebody mind-numbingly talking in front of you.
Exactly.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time with us today. I'd say I hope you get a good turnout. The kids are going to be there. I just hope it isn't senior skip day or something.
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
Those aren't allowed anymore.
I hope it gets the results and the kids get the information and take it home with them to their friends, to their parents, grandparents, and everybody. And you'd be surprised how many elderly people are out there on the phones, too. And gets the word out and just stop one accident, all will be worth it.
Exactly. And like we said before, it's not a teen problem. It's a whole, driving community problem. So we got to, this is step number one. So
from the day you get your phone, you're the problem.
Yeah.
And the parents need to understand, too, that they need to set the example. They're the parents. They're the ones that most likely own that car. They're in charge of that car. They can control who drives it and how their child drives the car. If they're not setting the example for their child, then they need to rethink that, and they can be a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem.
Do as I say, not as I do hasn't worked in any generation.
It has not.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our guests today on the program have been Shelley Bomer. She's Harbor Beach Community Schools Curriculum Coordinator. She was one of the key people in getting the Arrive Alive tour to the Harbor Beach Schools this Friday for students 9th through 12th grade. And also Casey Yon. He is sort of the Mr. Money Man on this. He was able to secure the funding that helped get this, because nothing is cheap today, and they're bringing along some high-tech equipment. They've got to set it up and spend a day here, so I'm certainly it wasn't cheap, and I'm not going to ask you how much, but I know you went did a lot of work to help bring this to the area. And Todd Buchholz, Harbor Beach Police Chief, on hand through the process, and probably put in some good words to the City Council when they needed funding as well to get the program here. Thanks for being with us. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.